Good evening. Glad to see everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day. I completely changed my whole sermon tonight, and that was 2 hours before. But I thought this would be a good sermon for tonight, kind of trying to keep in line. I have a theme going on and then a theme for next month as well. When we look at comparison, it's one of the oldest temptations. And when I mean by oldest, like every other sin, it's been around for centuries. Even before social media, people were comparing themselves to others. It's been happening for centuries. But we see it has to do with the human heart. We see that Cain compared his offering to Abel's. We see Saul compared his praises to David. The church at Corinth compared its favorite preachers. And today we compare our homes, our children, our marriages, our spiritual growth, and our congregations to everyone around us. We all at some point in our life have compared our lives with others. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Paul doesn't tell us to stop examining ourselves. He tells us to examine the right thing, by the right standard, for the right reason, our own work measured against God's word. Not our neighbor's life measured against ours. So comparing ourselves to others, it distorts judgment. It breeds pride, envy. It divides the body of Christ. So God calls us instead to examine ourselves by his word, the very book we have before us this evening. And so we are called to be content with the measure he has given us and follow Christ. And so the first thing we want to look at tonight is the problem, measuring ourselves by one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Here we see Paul is confronting false teachers who built their credibility by comparison rather than by truth. When he was in prison, when he was arrested, there were men going out preaching the gospel, sure, but their intentions were wrong. They didn't like Paul, and they wanted to be made known. But of course, we see Paul humbling himself. The gospel's being preached. But we see as well, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 7 through 9, the women saying, "Saul slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands." Verse 9 says, "So Saul eyed David from the day forward." And so one comparison planted a seed of jealousy that grew into years of pursuit and violence. We see what it did to Saul. Saul would be driven mad, chasing after David, wanting to kill him. And then we see in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, Cain's anger was not because his own offering was condemned in isolation, but because it was measured against Abel's and found wanting in his own eyes. That led Cain to killing his own brother. Do you think the same still happens today? Absolutely. When we measure ourselves by other people, instead of by God's standard, we either inflate ourselves in pride or diminish ourselves in envy. And neither response is wise in the biblical sense. When envy takes hold and we allow it to drive us, it will lead to further sin. Once again, when we look at anger, it starts off as anger, and then it turns into possibly violence, murder. We've seen that once again. Cain with Abel, Saul with David. I mean, there's countless examples. We must be careful and understand this is where, as Christians, we are not to stand, but we are to compare and examine ourselves according to God's standard, which is found in His Word. Second, comparison breeds envy and division. In James chapter 3, verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing there are." And so, Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." This happens in the church very often. We see people envying one another, and it causes division. It causes problems. And we know with what Paul says about division. We see him writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. We see the Corinth church was divided by comparison. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Christ. What does division do to the church? It destroys it. It breaks it down. It runs the faithful off. It leaves room for bad things to take place. Paul calls this carnality and not spirituality. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Those who worked all day grumbled when others received the same wage. They hired these certain laborers in the beginning of the morning to work, and then others came along and would be brought on, and they were all paid the same wage. But notice the master's reply. "Is your eye evil because I am good?" Verse 15. For the local church to walk in unity, that is described in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Members must stop ranking themselves against one another and start esteeming others as Christ instructs us in Philippians 2, 3. "In loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Even the apostles fell into this. Well, the disciples, before they were apostles, we see that they were arguing, who's the greatest? Once again, what does that accomplish? Really, what I tell people, none of us are worthy. None of us are good. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not even elders, deacons, preachers. You know, in some religions and denominations, there are men who look at themselves as higher. When we look at the Pharisees, they thought of themselves as better than all the rest. When the reality is, oh no, you're on the same level. No one's good. There's no one that is good. No, not one, as Paul tells the Romans. It causes not only division, but it causes others to sin. It causes division, all kinds of terrible things that we must keep away from the church. And so, the standard, and what is the standard? We must examine ourselves by God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." The standard is not a neighbor, a preacher, a congregation down the road. It is God's word, the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 25, which each person is to look into and obey. Right here we have the standard of what we are to be, how we are to live, how we are to walk, talk, act. And even not just inside this building, but outside these walls. Can you imagine what would a stranger say if they walked in and joined in worship? What do you think they would say about the church? How would they look at the church? How would they perceive the church? Would they see unity, love, godliness? Would they see a congregation sticking to the Word of God? I had I forgot who it was, but someone had said at one point when they go to work that there was a man who would look at him and say, "You know what I like about you? You're a true Christian. All the others, they don't stick to what they say, what they teach." And that means a lot. That should. I had a friend who would go to work. They called him Smiley. That was his nickname. Even on Mondays, he would come in with a big grin on his face. And so many people would look at him weird, thinking, "Why are you all happy and full of joy? It's a Monday. Who likes Mondays?" But it opened up opportunities. Once again, he didn't care about if he was a better preacher. And this happens among preachers too. I have fell into this category as well, comparing myself to other preachers, wondering if I'm doing enough work, if I'm doing my best. It's a big trap. Instead of looking at the Word of God and examining myself. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and 6, "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Having then gifts, offering according to the grace that is given to us." You know, when you think about talents, the parable of the talents, one was given 3 talents, 1 2, and the other 1. Now, of course, they were to multiply, to take care of it and to multiply it. The one with 3 multiplied, the one with 2 multiplied, the one with 1 hit it. Once again, we have been given what talents, we have been given what we can do, and we need to use it. But not to be comparing ourselves or thinking of ourselves. You know, often there have been people who thought, "Well, you're a better teacher than I." Not really. You know, I think about myself, just because I went to preaching school doesn't mean I have all the knowledge in the world. There are questions I've been asked that I don't have answers to. But there have been other preachers who can answer that right off the bat. Use what God has given you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 and verse 18. "The body has many members, each given different gifts by the same Spirit. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And hand is not less valuable for not being an eye." We each have our part to play. And each part is important in the kingdom of God. And once again, we have ladies who send out cards. That's a great thing to do. We have men who will step up and serve. We have men who will teach when called upon. These are all great gifts that we can use, that we can do. But I do encourage people to step out of their comfort zones and to grow as well. But we each have a part to play. We do the correspondence courses, and we have a lady who grades those courses. It's a great work. In John chapter 21, verses 20 through 22, Peter, told of his own future, turns and asks about John, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus answers, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Peter here, worried about, how about John? Well, if he's still here, he'll be doing something. But don't worry about him. What you need to do is follow me. Peter was to focus on himself and making sure that he remains faithful. And so God gave every Christian a different measure of faith, opportunity, and gift. The question is never, how do I compare to them? But am I being faithful with what God gave me? And that's really something we need to pay attention to. Are we being faithful? And once again, going back to Galatians 6:4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It's the whole point Paul was trying to drive there. Examine yourself, compare what your life to God's standard, and keep your eyes on him and doing what is right. And everything will work out. The only time that we should fear is when we're doing nothing. The only time we should fear is when we have sin in our lives. And so the remedy here, contentment, humility, fixing our eyes on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice here, the race set before us, not someone else's race. Our race. We're each running. We're on the same road, focusing on getting to the same destination, which is heaven. But we're not all going to have the same bumps. We're not all going to be, we may have different sins we struggle with. We may have different ways to go about it. But once again, we must be focusing on the path we're taking. And overcoming the things we struggle with, we must focus on ourselves being able to remain faithful. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul here writing from prison cell. He's learned to be content. And even being in prison, he made a great deal for the kingdom, sending out letters. And I'm sure Paul would have been teaching, preaching the jailers. And I'm sure when he stood before Caesar, he would have taught and talked about his faith. Paul used every opportunity he could to make sure that he was living faithfully. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We see that comparison turns a brother's blessing into my burden. Love turns it into shared joy. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Rejoicing comes from faithfulness, not from outranking someone else. Once again, we have to bear our own load. Yes, we are called to share one another's burdens. And like I said this morning, when we all stand before Christ, each one of us will have to answer for our own, not for each other. Colton can't stand with you in the day of judgment. I'm going to be standing on my own two feet before God. Once again, fix our eyes on Christ as the standard and the goal. Use the measure of grace God gave you and rejoice in your brethren's gifts rather than resenting them, even encouraging them. Once again, when we go back, we are to encourage one another to continue in good works. Use your gifts, but also I encourage you to step out and to step out of your comfort zones and do more. And once again, I served. I remember when I was first baptized, I became a Christian. And I asked the next Sunday, what can I do? Boy, that's a question you probably shouldn't ask because they put me on everything. But I grew from that. And of course, I started speaking, which was not easy. Still not easy, by the way. But once again, I see the growth in myself, making sure that I am staying faithful all the way through, but also encouraging even younger men, younger people, like we all should be, to step up to do more. And even older folks, encouraging them to do more, but also encouraging them to use the gifts they have been given to glorify God in everything. And so, comparing ourselves among others is unwise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. It breeds envy and division and misses the point of the Christian life. You know, when we think about the Christian life, we've been set apart from the world. Why are we comparing ourselves to worldly people and what they're doing? We shouldn't be doing it with brothers and sisters in Christ. We definitely should not be doing it with worldly people. That's the problem with social media. God calls us to examine our own work by His word. Be content with the grace and gifts He assigned us, and run our own race with our eyes on Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. We must stay busy for the kingdom. We must make sure that we are being faithful, that we are fully in accordance with His word, that we are living to it, to that godly standard. And so, a challenge. Where has comparison bred pride, envy, bitterness, and discontentment in your heart this week toward a neighbor, a co-worker, a fellow Christian, or even our own family? And so the challenge, stop comparing yourself with others and start comparing yourself with God's standard, making sure that you are living up to His standards, the standards that are found in His word. John 21, verse 22, whatever the Lord has given someone else, His word to teach of us remains the same. You follow me. Are you following Christ this evening? Or are you following the world and its ways? And if you're following the world and its ways, understand you're lost. This evening, I pray and hope that you decide to give your life to Christ, fully commit to Him by believing and obeying the gospel. And this is how you obey the gospel, fully. You must hear the word that's been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You must believe in that word, Mark 16:16. Then you must repent of your sins, change. There needs to be a change of mind and life, and turn back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:10. And then you must be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. When you're put into the water, you're being buried. Your old self is being put to death, and the blood of Christ washes you clean. And when you raise out of that water, you're walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. Revelation 2:10. That's the hard part. That's where we must compare our lives to God's standard daily, not just once a week or twice a week. Or if you were a Christian, you have fallen back into your ways. Maybe you have been comparing yourself with others, filling yourself with pride, envy, whatever it may be. Tonight, why not come, repent, and be restored? And refocus, reshift your eyes to look upon Christ and to stick to His word. So this evening, if anyone is here who is in need of any assistance, I pray that you come while we stand and while we sing.